Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, there is a different face at the chairman's, in the chairman's chair, and that's Alderman Hill. That's sometimes people call me that. And this is the mayor's experiment to allow aldermen to try to see what it's like sitting up here and looking at all the wonderful people that are in the audience and the wonderful folks that are all fellow aldermen. So next week it will, I think, be Alderman Vogelsberg. So you'll have a chance to watch her in session. So I believe all of the aldermen are here. And I'm going to do something next. And as soon as I can find my agenda, I'll do that. I'll call a meeting to order. And all the aldermen and the mayor are present. And the first thing on the agenda, I believe, is to consider the consent agenda.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The next item of business is the recognize the Public Service Week, and I have the proclamation to read. The next staffing. Okay. Proclamation, Public Service Recognition Week. And honor the millions of people, public employees at the federal, state, county, and city levels. Whereas the Americans are served every single day by public servants at the federal, state, county, and city levels, these unsung heroes do the work that keeps our nation working. Whereas public employees take not only jobs, but oaths. Whereas many public servants, including military personnel, police officers, firefighters, border patrol officers, embassy employees, healthcare professionals, and others risk their lives each day in service to the people of the United States and around the world. Whereas public servants, including teachers, doctors, and scientists, train conductors and astronauts, nurses and safety inspectors, laborers, computer technicians, and social workers, and countless other occupations, day in and day out, they provide the diverse services demanded by the American people of their government with efficiency and integrity. And, whereas, without these public servants at every level, continuity would be impossible in a democracy that regularly changes its leaders and elected officials. Therefore, I, an alderman of the City of Geneva, State of Illinois, do hereby announce and proclaim to all citizens and set seal hereto that May 3 through 9, 2010 is Public Service Recognition Week. All citizens are encouraged to recognize the accomplishments and contributions of government employees at all levels, federal, state, county, and city. Is there any...
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, I move that the City Council approve the proclamation.
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Brown? Mr. Dantino. Okay. Amidst the confusion of papers that I'm experiencing. Oh, that's probably a good idea. I have a vote. All in favor of the proclamation, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Good. The Russians are still somewhere else. Item B on the agenda, proclamation May 9 through 15, 2010. As Police Week in the City of Geneva.
So moved.
Second.
And the proclam. Let's see. Shall we take a vote?
Motion
by Dorothy and second by Alderman Marks. Thank you. And I'll read that one. Proclamation, Police Week, May 9 through 15, 2010. Whereas there are approximately 900,000 law enforcement officers serving in communities across the United States, including the dedicated members of the Geneva Police Department. Are there any here tonight? No, not yet. Whereas since the first recorded death in 1792, nearly 19,000 law enforcement officers in the United States have made the ultimate sacrifice and had been killed in the line of duty, including three members of the Geneva Police Department. Whereas 324 new names of fallen heroes are being added to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial this spring, including 116 officers killed in 2009 and 208 officers killed in the previous year. Whereas the service and sacrifice of all officers killed in the line of duty will be honored during National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund's 22nd Annual Candlelight Vigil on the evening of Thursday, May 13, 2010. Whereas the Candlelight Vigil is part of National Police Week, which takes place this year on May 9th through 15th. Whereas May 15th is designated as Peace Officers Memorial Day in honor of all fallen officers and their families. Therefore, be it resolved that Geneva City Council formally designates May 9 through 15, 2010, as Police Week in the City of Geneva, publicly salutes the service of law enforcement officers in our community and in communities across the nation. For all those who are in favor of this, time to vote. Say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, I guess I get to vote, too. Okay. Next on the agenda, as you can see, is the request for to consider the request from the Fox River Geneva Post 75 American Legion to solicit donations in downtown Geneva on May 29, 2010 for annual Poppy Days.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, and the letter here is a request. This is a request for authorization to conduct our annual Poppy Day fundraiser for hospitalized veterans on Saturday, May 29th from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Typically, 6 to 10 members take part in this event. Solicitors will be stationed at various venues in downtown Geneva, primarily along 3rd and State Streets. Permission will be sought from individual merchants to solicit in front of their establishments. No one will solicit donations in any Geneva street. Proceeds from this event will be donated to support hospitalized, wounded, or homeless veterans. Please contact me if you require any additional details regarding this activity. Your approval of this request would be most appreciated. Thank you. Daniel J. Clark, Commander. Any questions on this request from the American Legion Post 75? All those in favor? Say aye.
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 Any opposed? None. Aye. And I say aye on both, all three of them. Okay.
We can get a first and a second.
You're right. This takes a lot of wind.
I don't think so.
People get a lung transplant.
Was there a motion?
I don't think so.
Was there a motion?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
On letter D is to consider the draft ordinance amending Title IX, Water and Sewers, Chapter 2, Article A, which includes service rates and charges of the Geneva City Code.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, second by Melandra. Any questions or comments, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, Alderman Brown.
Department Head Mr. Van Keeskum please explain why this should be retroactive to today instead of picking some other date, starting at the beginning of a month? Or is there any reason why it would not make sense to do this at the beginning of one of your billing cycles, or are your billing cycles continuous?
No, the first billing cycle comes out May 14th. So
the first billing cycle for May?
Correct.
Thank you.
We felt this was appropriate day to put that in there.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments on this issue? Anybody? Yes, Alderman Marks.
You know, I don't know if other aldermen have, but I just have a suggestion here. Is I don't know, but I've talked to a lot of citizens this week, and a lot of them have been coming up with this idea of lifting the band, and once you kind of explain to them that you can't lift the ban for fire safety reasons. I was just wondering if we've ever looked into the point of maybe determining if there is a certain number of people that we can sell some type of permit to that they can water all the time, if there's that much of a need to try to keep some of the costs down going forward, because it seems to be that we're just not selling enough water. And I don't know if that's ever been thought about or not, so I just thought I'd toss it out there.
Alderman Mark?
Yes. Would the City Administrator McKittrick please respond?
We do have that provision in place for new lawns. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a lot of construction, so we've not sold those permits, but we do have that.
I just wondered if
ability.
We wanted to do it for existing lawns besides. I mean, because we are saying that the cost is going up because we're not selling enough water. We can't lift the band in total. I understand that because it would drain the water, the towers down too low. But there seems to be a lot of people saying that they would prefer to, I don't know, I've had five people say that to me, that they would probably water every day. Now, if you take that times the 10 people here, all of a sudden there's 50 people. Now, I don't know if that's going to make a big difference or not, but I just wondered if it was anything we ever thought about to loosen the rate increase going forward at some point. Idea, suggestion?
Alderman Singer, did you have your hand up? Did you want to make
no,
a comment,
I was
sir?
Going to mention that which Ms. McKittrick had suggested, that there is provision such as this for new lawns that have come into existence in the communities.
Okay. Alderman Flanagan?
Yeah, I just maybe, thank you very much. Maybe I misunderstand the watering rules and regulations, but I thought that you cannot use sprinklers for every odd day, and the other days you can hand water.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay.
Who's going to hand water the yard?
I'm just. I do.
Well, yes, but I say you may have enough.
I guess I'm a somebody.
Well, it may be that some people want to use. I'm not saying make the fee the application outrageous. I'm just saying enough to make them feel it. And if they want to use that water and it doesn't, we can probably somehow determine how many permits we could issue in a year. And if it decreases the rate going forward, I think it's just something we should take a look at. Just, I don't know, right, wrong, or indifference. Just an idea that had come up over the weekend. So,
yes, Alderman Piper.
Thank you. These are all great ideas, and I.
But
I think
not
they
to fix it tonight.
Well, no, but I think they all absolutely should be explored. I mean, I think people should be able to buy that kind of permit. I just wanted to bring this kind of full circle as to, as we talk about this and we get deeper into this and it becomes this whole big, scary increase and the sky is falling. I believe this is less than $2 a month. I mean, this is a minimal increase at best to try and get these, because we have to make bond payments for getting a thousand-time better product than we were getting before we put this place in. So, I mean, it's a very minimal impact. I'm getting the same thing you are, Rich. I'm getting a lot of people that are completely panicked about a rate increase, and then when you tell them what it is, they kind of laugh, like, oh.
Yeah,
I don't know if they thought it was $50 a month or $20 a month, but it's less than a cup of coffee.
It sounds like there are some people that would buy it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I think we should just look into that.
Absolutely.
If it can decrease the rates going, you know, that next year we don't have to raise it or the next time we don't have to raise it as much.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we have to do it tonight. I'm just asking that it's something we look into. It may not be feasible.
And I think it would be probably something we'd have to do, and correct me if I'm wrong, but through code enforcement.
Right.
I mean,
that's the problem.
How do they find,
right.
I mean, how do you know who's doing what?
You'd have to put a permit out in the window.
Right.
That's what they'd have to do. But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd toss it out
absolutely.
For future
no.
looking. I mean, it may be that it's not possible, but it's at least something. I think we need to look at every avenue rather than just say
right. We're
going to always increase the rate.
You want to say that? Mrs. McKittrick has a response to.
I just said to the chairman that I'd be happy to ask staff to look into that. Investigate it, but I wouldn't suggest that would replace what's being proposed.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it may help
offset
in the future.
Sure.
And we may go through all the calculations and stuff and find out that people really just didn't want the increase and they're not going to buy the permit. But if there's some people out there and we have the water and we don't drain the towers down that low, I say at least let's take a shot at it going forward.
Sure, staff can do that. No problem.
Thank you. I just want to add to what Alderman Piper said, because there's a benefit to what we've done, too. I mean, we're paying now for safer or better-tasting water, safer water. We're eliminating the radium out of the product that we're offering. And we're also, the EPA regulations, we've met all of those. So I think that if we look at the whole big picture, there's a lot of benefits that I guess maybe the citizens don't realize, that because we did build a water filtration plant and we are not paying for the wastewater treatment, that, you know, these are all benefits, and it should be looked at benefits and not look at it as a detriment. We did, I thought, a good job. So thank you.
And if I may, sure. I know from my personal experience, we've put our softener on bypass.
Oh, and that too.
I haven't had to buy salt, which saves me way more than $2 a month. And I think if people are doing that or realize that they can, which by now they should, it's an absolute net gain. So
it's true.
Any other comments or questions from the dais?
Mr. Potato.
Any questions or comments from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, do we have a motion on the floor?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. No? Okay. Thank you. All those in favor, excuse me.
Roger, thank you.
All those in favor of the motion as it stands, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
And as an alderman, I vote nay. The next on the agenda is the consider the draft ordinance. And for the record, there were 7 affirmative and 3 negative votes on that issue. Okay, next on the agenda is consider draft ordinance amending Title 4, Chapter 2, Liquor Control, Section 4-2-7, License Fees and Number of the Geneva Code. And are there any comments or questions from the dais, or do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
So moved. Alderman Singer?
Second.
Alderman Brown? Any comments, questions from the dais? Any comments or questions from the audience? And might I remind the audience, when any citizen or guest wishes to make a statement or ask a question, the mayor, council, or City of Geneva staff, we respectfully request you do so at the podium. And please begin your remarks by stating your name, spelling your last name, giving your address, and no telephone number. Please speak directly into the microphone so that your remarks can be heard by the clerk or the recording secretary. And if you speak additional times, please restate your name each time for the record. Thank you. Are there any comments or questions? Did you have?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, okay. Alderman Mark?
You know, I think I brought this up last week that I still do have a concern with two liquor stores being so close to each other, and I still have that concern. And, you know, we do have one liquor store in that area, and it's my understanding that they have not had any liquor violations. And I am afraid that you are going to see some price competition that is probably going to put either one or both of them out of business, and I think one hand is worth two in the bush, so I will be voting no for this liquor license.
Any other comments from the dais? Any comments or questions from the audience? Mrs. Patel.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Patel, P-A-T-E-L. And my address is 2406 King James Avenue, St. Charles, Illinois. I'm the owner of Hammer's Eastside Liquor, and we're located at 1439 East State Street. And as I've said, I'm very concerned about this proposed store. We sell the exact same product. There's no way to differentiate from each other. Most likely, putting a new store will incite a price war. As we said, possibly putting both stores out of business, decreasing revenue to the city. I can't imagine that having two liquor stores across the street from each other at the East Gate is what is the image that you want to present to incoming people as they drive into the city of Geneva. The space that we're discussing, wouldn't that be better used by a retailer who isn't already providing that service to that particular area. We've collected over 70 resident signatures stating that they actually do not want another liquor store in their area. I have that list here if you needed it. But those are my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Mrs. Patel? Any other comments from Alderman Paul? I think Alderman Maladra. I saw his hand first. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
So, Alderman Maladra.
To me, this is a tricky issue. I'm less concerned about competition.
I'm not worried about competition as much as the type of competition with that business.
So there's this concept called economic geography, right? So you've got the hot dog stand on the beach. Where does the second one go? Goes right next door, right? And that's good for both of them. So I'm not necessarily concerned about that, but the comment Mrs. Patel made about having two liquor stores greet people as you come into Geneva on the East Gateway, that sort of bothers me. We've talked a lot in strategic plan sessions and everywhere else. This is a gateway to the city, and what we want that welcome to be, I'm not sure I like the feel of liquor stores. So I think I too will oppose this.
Thank you, Alderman Maladra. Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. I echo Alderman Maladra's concerns. And I was wondering if perhaps Mrs. McKittrick can give us a brief history as to when Fuller's was built and we established the zoning for that strip center. I don't believe we ever contemplated a liquor store at that location.
I don't know the date that was approved. I can research and get back to the council, although the audience wouldn't receive that information, unfortunately. But I can tell you that it was approved with planned unit development designation, PUD, as we refer to it, which is basically a special use for the zoning. Now, what we do is typically we will say it's mixed use. That's what a PUD is. Mm-hmm. That's what it accommodates. And we would like to see the uses for those facilities being built. Well, if that's not been determined at the time that the PUD special use is designated, then there's an underlying zoning that says here's a list of permitted uses that we will allow for this area or that, the different mixed-use areas of a PUD, until it's determined what should go in there. If down the line, basically, and it's fairly typical that if you determine that something should go into the PUD that the underlying zoning doesn't accommodate, then you ask for a change in the zoning because it's a special use zoning. So you're going to change it no matter what. It's always an amendment to the PUD, whatever you do there.
But the underlying zoning as it sits does or does not include?
It does now because it was approved last week.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. With the exception of last week, prior to last week, it was not a part of the underlying zoning, correct?
The underlying zoning didn't anticipate this use.
Correct.
And so the understanding was if this list, if the desired use X number of years down the road is not on the list, then come back and suggest a special use for that.
Sure. And thanks, Mary.
That's the way that it typically works.
Yeah. And I certainly understand Mrs. Patel's concern. They purchased their liquor store. Then this development was built, this PUD. And at that time, a liquor store or package store wasn't contemplated. So it really wasn't a concern of theirs and really wasn't a concern of ours. Perhaps giving the gateway the image that we don't want to see. And had the Patels known that use would change, perhaps they would have located their liquor store on that side of the street and not where they currently are. So it's certainly a difficult question. Like Craig and Rich, I will vote against this because I do not believe this is the image that we want to see portrayed at the gateways of our city. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Pollack. Alderman Vogelsberg, did you have a comment?
Yeah, real quick. Thank you, Mayor.
You just demoted.
not the first time. Anyhow, I do think this is a tricky issue because, you know, I shop in Hammers. I met with the Patels, and I totally understand their position. But we've had this situation come to us a lot of other times where we've had a microbrewery license issued across the street from a microbrewery, and we felt like more competition is good. More, it's good for everyone. And so I do think it's hard. I the image thing I sort of get, except to me, a vacant building is the least image that I want to see. And I think sometimes we talk here like we can just pick it, like we want this use or we want that use. We have to, whoever owns the property has to get whatever tenant they can get. So we can have, and that's what all our planning is our desire, but I feel like that we can't choose. There's no big industry to offset the water costs. I mean, we can't just pull these businesses out of nothing. But the only other thing I was going to say is, even though it seems technically or not technically that we're talking about these two businesses, we're really talking about just issuing the packaged goods liquor license. So if we don't issue it now, in my opinion, then we never can. So either we're going to let another packaged goods go in Geneva, or we're not. So because that is what we're approving tonight. We're not picking out a certain business that we're giving it to. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Vogelsberg. Any further comments from the dais? Alderman Piper, and then Alderman Dantino.
Thank you. I stated on the phone last week, you know, I hate to get in the middle of any free enterprise or anybody's any competition, and I'm not particularly concerned with that. But I got a chance to speak to Rich before the meeting and what Craig and Mrs. Patel brought up. And being in sales in the Chicagoland area for 20 years, I've driven in and out of every single town and every county. And as I start to go through those roads in my head, it looks terrible. I mean, you walk in, you drive through 3, 4, 5 liquor stores right next to each other, and you're thinking, what the hell's in this town? I mean, you know, it's lottery tickets and beer. I mean, I don't know if that's the image we want. I'm a little torn on what to do now because is the competition healthy? Yeah, I think it's absolutely healthy. I don't have any problem with that. But the locations, I'm a little concerned about the locations. I think the microbreweries are similar but different enough that it's not the exact same product. It is a different product. It is a different type of, even with our insurance companies, you'd be right across the street from each other. It's two different products. It's similar, but this is actually the exact same thing, which competition is what it is. I'm afraid of how it's going to look with all the neon and all the posters and all the everything everywhere. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Piper. Any further comments from the dais? Yes, Ralph Dantino. Alderman Dantino.
I guess this question is for Mary, Ms. McKittrick. Did Fuller's actually apply for a liquor license? Or maybe for the mayor?
They've indicated that they're going to be submitting their application. So they're in the process of doing that. And I spoke with the property owner today, actually, and he said that we should be receiving it this week.
That's interesting. So is this liquor license is just a liquor license? It's not stating who it's for?
Technically, yes. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
So if I may, we'd be looking at Hammers, the new place, and Bobby Fuller?
No, technically speaking,
I mean, would they be selling packaged liquor out of the gas station? Is that what they're...
No.
Am I missing something?
Technically speaking, the vote, which Alderman Vogelsberg stated, is accurate. The vote is to expand the amount of packaged liquor licenses available, an additional one. If the applicant, for example, chose not to sign a lease with the property owner and perhaps go elsewhere, he now has that license to do so, or she has that license to do so. But as we all know, the preferred location currently is that which we are addressing. So
she has that license? That person has that license then?
If once they apply for it, if they pass the background check, sure. It has to come with the lease, of course, so it's understood that if this committee and this council next week approves the expansion of the package license permits,
it would automatically go to that person?
Because they'll be applying for it as well in that location that we have theoretically approved. Yes.
And going back to my question, what, maybe I'm missing something.
It's a Fuller's PUD. That strip is not called Fuller, so it's not two separate. No, I knew that was. Fuller's PUD.
It's on that property itself. So.
I think Mr. Dantino's question was important. Could someone else in town apply for this after we approve?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Somebody on Rendell Road or?
Certainly. Right. Anywhere in town. Correct.
And then it doesn't come to the council at that point if there's one available.
That's correct. Unless, of course, there's a zoning change.
So is this technically a unique situation then that we're voting on a liquor license that we know about of the location?
Not really. It's actually happened in the past. There's never been such discussion or debate regarding a license in the past for what I would argue to be interesting reasons. I mean, I respect everyone's comment. I would argue that probably 75% of the people in town have no idea that there's a strip mall located behind the Fuller store. I mean, we had a similar discussion and debate 4 years ago regarding a gas station on East State Street that was not permitted under current zoning. But we permitted it because it was, at the time, the appropriate economic development that we all felt was necessary. Number two, we supported a car wash that directly competed with a neighbor to the east that had a car wash well before. And we heard from that owner that a car wash further west would impinge on their car wash business as well. So, I mean, history has it.
So when Fuller applies for his liquor license, he's applying for the store behind him?
Of course, yeah. It's not.
I thought Chaudine owned that property.
That's true. Chaudine's the property owner.
Does he own the gas station as well?
He owns the property which the gas station rests upon, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions from the dais? Just to clarify, I want to make sure that everybody realizes that Mayor Burns is also the liquor commissioner. That's why I know so much about the subject at hand.
Well, plus 40 years of enjoying it.
I wasn't going to say that. But
40, God help us. 35.
Came out of the zero.
Well, I remember
my first commute, the whole thing was downhill.
Any other comments, questions from the dais or the audience?
Point of order.
Yes, Mrs. Point of order. Alderman Singer?
Can we have a roll call vote?
I think, surely. I don't think we're ready to vote because Mrs. Patel raised her hand and asked to speak again.
Again, my name is Jennifer Patel, P-A-T-E-L. Just a quick question. When someone is to go to apply for a liquor license, do they or do they not have to have a signed lease?
It is a requirement that they have a signed lease. The majority of the time when someone comes in with their application, that paperwork has not been finished. So the application, the background check, is subject to us receiving that.
Having the lease. So it would be specifically for this location that we're talking about right now.
No. It is creating a license, technically first come, first serve. But whomever applies for that will have to provide proof of a lease.
A lease. For that location.
No.
Well, for any location.
For any location.
But right now it's that location that we're speaking of.
Right.
Okay. And At the last meeting I was at, the city attorney spoke about adding additional liquor licenses, and that if this liquor license in particular was denied, that did not impede the same liquor license being approved later on. Is that correct?
That is true. I think I have a feeling you're probably addressing what Alderman Vogelsberg may have said.
Correct.
And I understand where Alderman Vogelsberg was coming from. Mm-hmm. If this committee chooses not to support an additional license for the east side of the river, for example, mm-hmm. how could we in good conscience ever support another license east of the river if, in fact, the East Gateway is the tipping point in terms of no more? I think that's what Alderman Vogelsberg was saying. But.
Well, I'm more meant also to protect us, that if we say no to the license because we're choosing, we like your store better, we want it to stay in business, and then next week someone from Randall Road wants it and it's just a random and we vote yes, then I believe the person we denied will wonder what's...
But I don't. I don't think that that person can come back and sue the city. I think Illinois Liquor Commission law. And quote me if I'm wrong. They give the city significant leeway in where they can and cannot, and what they want to do with their liquor licenses. Is that true?
That's true. And it's certainly not my position to be fearful of any lawsuit per se. I think it has more to do with the political reality of the situation. Mm-hmm. That if we vote no on license request A, how do we possibly, in good conscience, support license request B, regardless of where it is?
Well, if it makes sense, if it's not, you know, if it's looking correct for the city, if it's in, you know, the right type of setting, if it's meeting the needs of the people, I think that would make sense. But that's just my personal opinion.
Sure, that's fair.
Okay, just a couple more comments I just wanted to make.
Sure.
We are local. We live 2 miles down the street from our store. We are there at a moment's notice should anything happen, such as a fire.
That's right.
With my 4-year-old son, and we have an impeccable record. We do not sell to minors. If the police department has come to us before asking us to not sell to people, saying we can't tell you not to do this, and we've not sold to those people. So we are here. We live in the community. We chose the community. I just wanted to put that out there, just so you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Patel. Are there any further questions? Yes, Alderman Pollack.
Thanks, Sam. And perhaps I should address this to the mayor. So nothing would prevent the Patels from signing another lease and coming to City Hall tomorrow saying, well, we want to apply for another liquor license on the east side.
That's correct. At a different location?
At a different location.
Sure, that's correct.
And since they already have the signed lease, would they be issued that license?
Because it's a different location.
If we issued another license.
An additional sign lease?
Yeah, if it's a change of location,
yeah.
There'd be a transfer of the license to that new location. But I know, I'll defer to Mrs. Patel if you want me to share the information regarding the consideration of a request that Mrs. and Mr. Patel have made regarding the dispensing and serving of wine at their store. That application is currently pending. That's a different license altogether, which in essence would differentiate Hammers from other stores as well. So I think in the spirit of differentiating your business from whatever business, whether it be Safeway, whether it be Binney's, whether it be the wine cellar, the Patels have also requested a wine serving license, which is different from the package store license. Right now I could not go into Mrs. Patel's store and say, would you mind if I could sample that, you know, Kingsbury beer? I'm sure Bob remembers that. So,
is that your question?
I remember it too. A good, healthy discussion. Did Alderman Piper? Did you want to clarify anything? You were shaking your head there for a moment. I just
Sam, can I just?
Yes, go ahead, Alderman.
One Paul. Question. I'm not. I know that I got the answer. So the new applicants, I'm assuming, is Fuller's.
Now, the new applicant, it so happens the new applicant's name is Patel. The Patels, no relation. They currently own a store in Genoa. They have scouted out locations throughout Geneva, felt that this location was appropriate in terms of not only traffic that visits Fuller's and for sundry reasons. They came to the city probably 3 months or so ago and had a little informal sit-down discussion. We explained to them very forthrightly that it required a zoning change, et cetera. It's up to them if they wanted to go through that process.
And they did present a signed lease?
Not yet. They'll have a signed lease this week.
So, hypothetically, if someone was to show up tomorrow morning, other than, we'll call it Patel 2.
Sure.
With a signed lease for a liquor store, a packaged liquor store, anywhere in the city, and we vote to approve this evening, would that other party be granted the license?
As long as the background check is sufficient and the zoning is sufficient, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then, assuming of course, this council would have the authority to yet again expand the amount of licenses available.
Correct.
Which we've
correct.
Done. So.
Correct. Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Any further questions from the dais? Alderman Brown.
Yes, I might just expand a little. This is clearly an arcane process. The state of Illinois allowed towns the ability to limit the number of liquor licenses, even though we may have dozens of places in town where the zoning accommodates it. It was an attempt to allow towns. Unfortunately, it was set up so that you could limit the number, but you couldn't limit the places. Once this is approved, any place which is zoned to allow is then allowed to come in and apply for it. So it was a way of limiting. So the question before the council tonight is, do we believe the city of Geneva needs three of these Class D licenses, or do we believe the number should be expanded to four? And point out, the city has grown from 7,000 to 22,000 since I've been on the council, so there is lots of logical reasons why we might wish to expand the number of Class D licenses that are available in town. But that is actually the question before us, as Alderman Vogelsberg pointed out. The question is, do we expand the number of licenses? We believe we know who is going to apply for it. But this, because of the arcane reasons, the state of Illinois has set it up so that we have to separately do the two actions.
Well put, Alderman Brown. Any other comments or questions from the dais? Any other comments or questions from the audience?
I would, Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Yes, sir.
I would state for the record, and Mr. Brown touched on this as well, the current licenses that are equivalent to one we're considering tonight actually exist on East State Street, downtown, and Randall Road. Mm-hmm. So theoretically speaking, there ain't no place to put another one that might not impact anyone else, mm-hmm. if in fact that might be your position with respect to voting no. So.
Any other comments from the dais or from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, Alderman Singer has called for a roll call vote, which I believe is in order. So would the Madam Secretary please call the roll for a vote?
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Nay.
Richard Marks?
Nay.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
The vote is 6 in the affirmative and 4 in the negative.
So the motion has passed and the ordinance amending Title IV for additional license has been approved. And well, that's true. We've got to take it to the city council meeting. Well, that's next week, right?
Yes, correct.
Good. Thank you.
Just so Mrs. Patel understands, this matter will be considered by the city council next Monday evening, May 17th at 7 p.m. in this council chamber. And we will have this item first on the agenda so that we can respect your time. And by all means, if you want to bring your four-year-old, please do.
Next on the agenda, consider the draft resolution authorizing execution of contract with Eagle Brook Country Club for Dancing with the Stars to be held on February 5th, 2011.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments or questions from the dais? Comments or questions from the audience? Mr. Singer, you have your
hand. Thank you. Alderman, The question I have is, I know that you're going to issue a $250 check to secure that date. That funding has been budgeted for. Is it coming out of the Cultural Arts Commission funds? Okay, very good. Thank you.
The answer from Administrator McKittrick is positive.
Yes.
Any other questions or comments from the dais? Yes, Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. It's really came as no surprise to anybody that this event has really turned out to be one of the events to attend. And often it's a sellout. And I know that last year it was at capacity with, you know, probably a couple hundred more tickets could have easily been sold. Are there other venues that by chance the Cultural Arts Committee has looked into to accommodate the overwhelming response?
They have. They've looked into other venues.
And there's nothing bigger than Eagle Brook?
Well, it's up to them to decide where it's most appropriate, and they've obviously decided to go with Eagle Brook and determine that that will accommodate their needs, and they are asking for the City Council to approve the contract as they did last year.
Maybe you would think that was fine, but some people.
Any other questions from the desk?
Thanks, Mayor.
Okay. Any questions from the audience or comments? All those in favor of the draft resolution authorizing execution of contract with Eagle Brook for Dancing with the Stars, February 5th, 2011, say aye.
Aye.
Any negatives, say nay. We will finalize that next week. Our next item on the agenda, consider memorandum of understanding with Roquette Properties regarding future electric service.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Brown. Who did the second? I'm sorry. Alderman Marks? Okay, great. Any questions or comments on this issue? Yes, Alderman Brown.
Simple question. I understand why Roquette would want to divide this into two phases. It makes a lot of sense from their point of view. Is there any way this costs the city extra funds by having it divided into two phases?
No. This is all done by Roquette.
Then I have no problem with them being wise.
Thank you, Mr. Dinges. Any other questions to Mr. Dinges, who seems to be one of the experts on this issue? Any comments or questions from the audience? Do you have anything more you want to add, Dan?
No.
All those in favor of the memorandum of understanding with Roquette Properties regarding future electric service, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. It passes to next week. Consider draft resolution authorizing execution of underground cable replacement contract with Gaffney's PMI in the amount of $678,163.55.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Alderman Brown, second by Alderman Piper. Any questions from the dais? Yes, so I think Alderman Dantino, did you have your hand up first?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I see that we're like about $320,000 under budget, which is great. I guess my question is, what happens to that $320,000? I assume we budgeted for $1 million. Can we use that to buy a fire truck or something like that?
No, what we generally do is see if we have other problems in our system and come back to you with other projects.
So you will come back to us? So.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Buffington, the superintendent of the electric department, is providing this good information. Alderman Pollack, did you have a question?
Right. Thank you. Mike, when you specify other projects that we already have in the pipeline or projects that you would like to consider throughout the course of the year?
We have projects in the pipeline. We have a list of about 6 years' worth of projects that we add together, and what originally happened is we had a project on Fabian that was working with the county to move the line out of the way, and they've moved their project back. So we picked up a couple smaller projects, and we're looking right now to whether or not we have other projects that we would like to come for the City Council and get approval.
Other questions? Alderman Vogelsberg, did you have
your hand up? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to elaborate that it's an enterprise fund, so we have to keep the money in for electric projects. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions from the dais? Comments or questions from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none. All those in favor of this motion, say aye.
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 Anybody who's opposed to it, say nay. Hearing none of the nays, I guess it's been approved. Next is the consider draft resolution authorizing execution of Kesslinger substation reclosers. Fascinating. I was picked up by Mr. Buffington on Friday afternoon because I didn't know what a recloser was. He said, I'll be right over and take you out and show you what they look like, approximately, from a distance.
I should have had a question about the liquor license.
I know what a closer was. I didn't know what a recloser was.
She doesn't know what a bottle of wine is.
Mr. Buffington.
She doesn't know what a half a bottle of wine is. Let's just clarify.
Could you please explain to these folks what a recloser is?
A recloser is a device similar to a breaker in your basement or in your house to turn off a circuit if the light goes out, and this is using our illustrious mayor up there. If the breaker goes out and you go down, turn it back on, you are the recloser.
That's right.
And what has happened is over the years, this particular device originally had this name and it worked just like that, but basically all it is a breaker. You know, to switch the system around, to break fault currents.
Fine description. Sometimes I've had to go down there in the middle of the night and move that breaker over so it would give us electricity or the necessary rooms. Any other questions for the yes, Mr. Pollack?
So, Mike, I would presume that your answer would be the same for this item as was the previous regarding the budget amount and the amount we actually received the bid for.
It would depend on this particular project. You know, there's not that much money left over in this project originally funded. And I haven't, to be honest with you, looked at the exact remaining amount. But there will be testing to come before the City Council unless the testing is below your authorized amount.
Well, that not that much money, I guess, in your definition is $120,000. That's the difference. That's what's left over. So between this one and the previous one, we're almost up to $400,000 that we've saved, which is very commendable. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just wondering, okay, so we got $400,000, now we're going to be looking for other projects to do? I just would like to know what exactly, you know, I don't want it to burn a hole in our pocket, but and I'd rather save the money in the event we have a natural disaster or something happens. But what would we do?
In this case, generally what we're going to do is sit on the money unless something happens to our substations.
Okay.
So we have some money left over in the year so we can come back and fix our substation.
Great. Sounds like a plan.
I think City Administrator McKittrick has a comment she'd like to make.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add that when a project comes in under bid and it's not atypical for that to happen. That often happens.
Right.
And there are funds left over. As Superintendent Buffington explained, we have 6 years' worth of projects. We move the top priority up each year and put those in our capital budget. But we have years' worth of projects waiting. So those funds that aren't expended on those particular bids, if they happen to come in low, then are available to go toward low consumption to make up for the low consumption that we've been seeing the last couple of years, to go into reserves, and to be put toward that list of 6 years' worth of capital. So Dan and Mike and I together make that decision as to what which of those projects. Typically, they'll make the decision and then come to me and say that they would like to add this to the list if they have extra money, and then that would go on the agenda and come before the council. That's the typical process that we use.
Thanks. Let's hope that our competitive bidding keeps working and we can ultimately reduce the rate for the ratepayers.
Alderman Singer, you had a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really have a concern when we put these issues out for bid and there are such discrepancies in the manner in which these products are bid and how they're bid as to as much as $90,000 to $100,000 in differentiations. And I'm certain that you do feel comfortable with selecting, even though the company we did select is the least cost for our product, that they are capable.
We have used Intran to do a lot of our undergrounding in the last few years. They're quite capable of doing this work.
Good. That's very satisfying for me to hear that. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Before we go much further, I think it's probably time to have a motion for this consideration. You know, I interrupted the process.
So moved. Second.
Did you get those?
Who was no, I did not get the first.
It was Dantino and Piper.
Dantino.
Yeah, Alderman Piper.
Oh, pardon me?
Piper second.
Mm-hmm.
Piper second. Any other questions or comments from the dais?
Sam.
Yes.
Sorry.
Alderman
just
Pollack.
Just one thing I forgot. Mike, do we always use Stanley Consultants to review our electrical bids?
We have currently been using Stanley to do our engineering and review of bids for the substations.
And how much are we paying them?
I would have to look that up. I would.
I mean, per job, or is it an annual contract?
No, it's per job.
Per job. If you could let us know, that'd be great. Thanks.
Any further questions from the dais? Any questions, comments from the audience? We have a motion to approve or authorize the execution of Kesslinger Station recloser controls upgrade with Intran Incorporated in the amount of $139,975. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. I voted aye. Next on the agenda is to consider draft resolution authorizing execution of contract for cured-in-place pipe sanitary sewer lining project with the American Pipe Liners in the amount of $50,293.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or comments from the dais? Yes, Alderman Pollack.
Hey, Dan, or Mike, or Bob, or whoever
Bob's
wants to
here.
Talk to this. Same question.
What about Pam?
Pam, sorry.
Superintendent Van Giskum is here to answer questions on this issue.
I'm just assuming it's the same stock answer.
Well, a little bit different in our case. This was a project that we actually, these areas were in the budget for 09-10, right. And I wanted to wait until the end of the year to see what money we had left over, if anything. And obviously the money's been real tight this year, no doubt about it. So this is actually going to go towards the 10-11. We'll see what money we generate in 10-11 to see if we can actually do the projects that we've proposed in 10-11. So, yes, this is extra money per se that you're saying it came in under budget, but no, this is money that we're saving towards any deficit that we may come across. Does that make sense? Okay, thank you.
Can I ask?
Yes, certainly.
Is there something wrong with that stock answer? I'm not following your point exactly. Are you after them to say specifically I want to do project A, B, or C, which no, they I just couldn't possibly do because they have to figure out what resources are available and things like that.
No, I think.
Or are you stating that somehow the fact that we're saving this money is a negative thing?
No, I think it's great that we've competitively bid it and that we're having a cost savings.
Right.
And then the next logical question is people ask, well, what happens to that budgeted money? That's all.
So you asked that four times. For what is your implication is what I don't get.
Yeah, I'm just addressing each question.
Just to say good job?
Absolutely, because we have great staff. Yeah.
Good job.
Absolutely.
Not, well, there's people, this is there's, the same stock answer.
Correct, there's more, there's more than us
the same good job by our staff.
There's more than us just participating, but people at home, I'm certain, want to see what's occurring and why.
While you're acting. Okay. That's what we passed. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the dais? Any from the audience? All those in favor of this draft resolution authorizing execution of contract for cured in place pipe sanitary sewer lining project in the American Pipeliners, the amount of $50,293, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Next issue or next item is consider fiscal year 2010-11 budget amendment in the amount of $5,600 for replacement of primary clarifier helicod, I think it is, rather than cord, at wastewater treatment plant.
So move.
So move by Alderman Singer.
Second.
Second by Alderman Marr.
$600.
Marks, any comments or questions from the dais? Yes, Alderman Dantino. Superintendent Van Gescom is on his way.
I see that. I hear that, I guess.
You guys are going to get tired of seeing me here one of these days.
Yes and no, we never chance.
I hope not. I hope
we
not.
We never chance. Just
the girls don't agree. Yes,
is sir. This a part or a maintenance item or something?
This is a gearbox that sits down into the bottom of the primary clarifier. There's a motor up on top which turns that gearbox, which turns a large screw on the bottom of that clarifier. It's all underwater. This is not something that is a typical maintenance item to take out and check. This takes roughly a day and a half, 2 days to get the part out, even to look at it. So it's not a anything that we did not maintain. But this this gearbox turns that large screw down at the primary clarifier to get it to a pump, which pumps the primary sludge.
So would you consider it a new part then, or maintenance? I guess my confusion is, and I'm not sure, but why do we have to do a budget amendment so early in the budget?
Primarily because this was totally unexpected. I take large capital investments like this, whether it be anything I consider this to be a capital investment. It's basically a new part is what we're getting. It's not something that needs regular maintenance. So this is not something that we would have even had any foresight in that it was going to fail. So this is a piece of equipment at the plant that is necessary for our operation. So
I don't doubt that. I guess so. This comes out of reserves, and is what
it will. Yes, that's what I'm asking. Because our when I put together our capital budget, it is only what we foresee as being necessary.
Wouldn't we want to exhaust our capital budget before we go to reserves?
All that I'm doing is explaining to you and coming up front that this is a part that early on has failed. And if I'm just explaining to you that it's not foreseen, and I don't want to come back to you later on and say, yes, we've done this, this, and this, but I can only explain to you what I have budgeted per item, and I'm being honest with you folks that this item was not budgeted.
And that's I understand that part, but I'm saying wouldn't we want to see how we go down the road to go into the reserves at a later point if we have to? Maybe we won't even have to.
I do come to you with every single capital budget item to be spent. So I just wanted to, you know, explain to you folks that this was not a budget item and that we do need the extra cash to absorb this.
City administrator.
It's transparency. Yeah. So it's like a cash drawer. He's saying I gotta get this clarifier sludge mover.
I understand that here.
and next capital project might come in under budget, in which case I'm going to replace that money in the reserves. But right now I got to take out. So it's just being upfront and transparent.
City Administrator McKittrick has a comment regarding this issue.
I just wanted to explain that with the process that's in place, if we had an extra $6,000 in the capital budget, this wouldn't be before you because that could be approved administratively.
Correct.
But all of the money that's in the capital budget that was presented to the council before did not include this. It didn't account for this. So those capital funds were tied to other projects. So without getting council approval, this money needs to be tied to a special project. And our water superintendent plans for all of those other projects to take place. If for some reason they come in under bid or a project doesn't take place, the money stays in this enterprise fund.
Understood, yeah.
So it's not like it goes somewhere else or it gets lost. All of this does is authorize the expenditure for this project, because really that's what your budget does, is authorizing expenditures and guessing at revenues. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Any other comments or questions? Yeah. Did you have a hand up, Alderman?
No, sir.
Any questions or comments from the audience? Hearing none, seeing no further questions, or for those folks who are in favor of this draft resolution of, wait a minute, I'm on the wrong line. Budget amendment in the amount of $5,600 for replacement of primary clarified helicode at wastewater treatment plant. Those in favor, please vote aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed, vote nay. Next item on the agenda is consider draft resolution authorizing execution of contract for 2010 citywide concrete sidewalk / curb and gutter project to Strada Construction Company in the amount of not to exceed $75,000.
So moved.
So moved by Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Marks. Any questions or comments? Assistant Director Pam Brobiak is here to explain the whole discussion if you have questions. No questions or comments from the dais. Any questions or comments from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none. All those in favor of this draft resolution, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Last on the printed agenda is consider draft ordinance amending Title 8, Article 7, Section 4C, in parentheses, parking meter zones rates of the Geneva City Code. I believe City Administrator McKittrick has some comments on this.
We need a motion.
Really? Yes.
Okay, let's have a motion.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
I think the memo should be self-explanatory. This is basically, it was presented back in 2008 by Phil Page, saying as we go forward to pay the debt on the parking deck, we will need to increase the rates. And he included that in memo form, which I included in the packet, as well as a page out of the 2008-09 budget. However, it's not entirely the city's decision to do that. When the time comes that the city determines that it's the appropriate time to increase rates, we have to get permission from Metra because they are co-owners of the parking deck. And once we submit that, then they do their analysis to determine whether it's appropriate or not. And if they agree, then they approve it, which is what happened in this case. So they have approved that, and I've included their approval letter as well. So.
Questions? Alderman Flanagan and Alderman Marks.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I needed to just ask a question. No SSA money parking fund goes to this parking deck at all, does it?
The parking fees pay for this parking deck.
The parking fees that are commuter
comes
parking.
Out of the commuter parking.
Right, but right. Not out of the SSA, downtown SSA.
Correct.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make sure we clarified that. For some reason, some people think that monies come from that special service area. So thank you.
Welcome. Alderman Marks?
Mary, just a quick question. I understand, you know, I read Mr. Page's memo, and we needed it for the deck. Does the overflow lot money also go to pay for the debt?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yes, so it goes into that same fund.
And so we need both of them increased to meet the debt because, I mean, we knew this. I mean, previous council approved this. Right. I mean, we knew this was coming. I just didn't know if it was taken into account because it wasn't clear in his memo if the overflow lot money was used to pay that debt.
That's
but
correct.
It is. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the dais?
I just have one comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I think it's worth noting, while not necessarily germane, that we will, or at least I expect, to have a heck of a lot more happier commuters once these automated pay machines are removed mm-hmm. and the manual ones are put back in. In fact, Mr. Dinges and the gang have assured me that work begins, I believe, this Wednesday.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Receiving the mounting brackets this Wednesday, so that hopefully in the next 2 weeks they'll be up and ready to go. And if any of you want to join me on those first 2 days, of watching these happy little commuters come through, it's quite the excitement. So thank you, Dan.
So. Have a pocket full of $1 bills.
Yes. Yeah. Well, see, never mind.
Thank you, Mayor.
Good censorship.
Any other comments or questions? Comments or questions from the audience? We do have a motion, and for all of those of you who are in favor of the draft ordinance, amending Title 8, Article 7, Section 4C, parking meter rates in the City of Geneva Code, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. City Administrator McKittrick has a comment that she would like to make. New business, yes, ma'am. Sorry I didn't tell you that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Happened so fast.
As the City Council may recall that during our renovations to City Hall and the downstairs reception area, staff gathered up leftover merchandise from our different departments and set up a small display downstairs to sell items with the city logo. The reasons for doing so is because we had leftover merchandise from different events, and we had requests from the public to buy items with the city's logo on it. Staff has received funds, or the city has received funds from the sale of merchandise at our city store for these new items, which makes it a self-funding program. And with the proceeds, we've ordered a limited quantity of the very first in a series of new product. We will have available a collectible pewter ornament for the holidays, with the city logo on the front and recognition of the city's 175th anniversary with the year 2010 on the back. We have a limited quantity of these. They will be for sale for $12 each, and we will have them a sale at City Hall. We will also have a booth at Swedish Days, and we will be selling those. And we plan to for this to be the beginning of a tradition, whereas we will be selling a different pewter ornament each year with a rendition of a well-known Geneva image on the front of it with the respective year on the back. But this is the kickoff to this program, so I wanted to present this to the City Council and to the public and just let the public know, again, we do have a very limited quantity of these that we thought would be a nice commemoration to start with of the city's 175th anniversary. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And for those collectors, 2011 will be the pewter Kevin Burns head with little removable glasses.
Mary, thank you, and happy or Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
The control of this meeting now.
I think that's a wonderful emblem, and I'm just waiting to see what is provided in 25 more years. I plan to be at that party when we reach the age
of
200.
So.
200. I'll be there.
They'll pop all the time, Jeff.
That's right. Okay. Alderman Vogelsberg, you had something.
Thank you. Well, this weekend there's two walks. One is the bridge walk for the Living Well Cancer Center. That starts at 8:30. That starts earlier than that. And then the Great Strides Walk for Cystic Fibrosis kicks off at Island Park at the Pavilion at 8:30. And it's free. You don't have to come with any sponsorships. And there'll be raffles and a lot of fun.
Which day?
Thank you. Who, what, where, when? So this Saturday, I think, is it the 15th?
15th.
Thank you.
Both are on the 15th, right?
Both are on the 15th. Yeah, and you could, if you're really peppy, you could do both. That's not me, but some people do both.
When is the kickoff?
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you. I just wanted to alert all the gardeners, we'll be out there planting our flowers also among the runners, maybe. I don't know exactly, but walkers, I'm sorry. This Saturday, too, at 8 o'clock. So if anybody wants to join us and then start walking or...
Volunteers are always welcome.
That's
correct.
Very true. Volunteers are always welcome. Just come to the post office and we'll find a garden for you.
And it's Gardenology weekend, so downtown's the place to be.
That's exactly right.
Mr. Chairman, there's actually a third walk happening on Saturday. The Child Advocacy Center Walk for a Child kicks off at 9 a.m.
Right
downtown Geneva, so it'll be a busy, busy day. So very exciting.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Alderman. Yes, Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This issue has come before this council a number of years back, inasmuch as that our Alderman Flanagan and I have a number of constituents who enjoy walking about our community, and particularly in our ward. And they have concerns regarding the low-lying branches of the trees, and they've attempted to run out on the street safes as well, and there are also rather low-lying branches out there, and they asked if there could be something done about this issue. I had indicated to the gentleman that I certainly will inform our superintendent of streets and fleets, Superintendent Steve Lemire, and he indicated to me that he would place this issue on a request for to have these trees and branches removed and what have you. I just want to call to the attention of our constituency in the city that if there is a situation within their areas that they are being perplexed by the same problem, that they should also please note or call the Public Works Department, ask for Mr. Lemire, and he certainly will accommodate you in seeing to it that the issue is resolved in some means, in some way. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman Singer. Any other comments or questions? I have one. Received a letter from Larissa Rumack. Larissa is a young lady who... spoke so eloquently in front of us several weeks ago. I believe it was on April 26th. She saw, in her letter, she said that several Geneva High School students worked very hard to demonstrate their talents at the Illinois Skills USA Leadership Conference in Springfield this past April, I believe it was. Four students, including herself, have the opportunity of a lifetime to represent our high school, the city of Geneva, and the entire state of Illinois at the National Skills USA Conference, June 21 through June 26, 2010. However, we will not be able to go to Kansas City, where they're having this meeting, to compete without some financial support of our community. They have less than 2 months to raise $3,000. And for those of you who want to contribute, you should contact Mrs. Cheryl Weintraub, Weintraub, Geneva High School Skills USA Advisor, and her phone number is available. So this is a real opportunity to support our very eloquent and intelligent high school students on their mission to attempt to win something in the country. Any other questions or comments under new business?
I have one more, Mayor. Reference. This is also from Cheryl Weintraub. We all enjoyed the attendance from the high school students. This is just in from Cheryl's class. Four Geneva High School students have won the first place in the state of Illinois for a video contest for internet safety. Kit Wallidson, Anton Malavaney, Connor Weststraight, and Stuart Stoffergen. They, along with their parents and teachers, check this out, have been invited to attend the Illinois State Board of Education's Education Policy and Planning Committee meeting on Thursday, May 20th, where they will be recognized for their work. Following that meeting, they're heading to the governor's mansion for refreshments, gambling licenses, and for refreshments and presentation of certificates. So I promise Cheryl we'd reference that as well. So more state champions from Geneva. Very
That's
exciting.
Awesome. Good.
Any other comments for new business? It's nice to see members of the staff here who didn't have a chance to speak. Mrs. Broviak, she even got her husband to show up.
And I think he's afraid of us. That's why he shows up all the time.
Yeah. Ellen DeVita is here, too, so we appreciate your attendance and the long distance you both have to drive. And members of the audience, Mr. Stanton, it's nice to have Joe here at all these meetings. Zach Ploppert, nice to have you here. Ron Stevenson, Barbara Coy, who was with the Chicago Tribune but left early because they have an early morning delivery of their newspaper she has to get information to, and Frank Vezvela. I'm getting it better, from the Geneva Republican. Thank you all for being here, and now I'd like to have a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Now we're going to go to a special meeting, and do we call for a vote on that, Mayor?
We'll kill the mics for about 2 seconds.
Okay, kill the mics.
Please put that in there.
Without objection, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go ahead and begin the special city council meeting called for this evening and published accordingly. The special city council meeting is called to order. I kindly ask our recording secretary to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Ralph Dantino?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Sam Hill?
Here.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Ray Pollack?
Here.
Robert Piper?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
John Vogelsberg?
Here.
We have one item tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Consider ordinance number 2010-25, amending Title IX, Water and Sewer, Chapter 2, Article A, Service Rates and Charges of the Geneva City Code. I'll entertain a motion to approve. Motion by Piper.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Singer. This action was taken up under the tutelage and leadership of Mayor Pro Tem Hill earlier this evening. Questions or comments regarding the matter before us? Hearing none. Anyone in the audience? Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Buckelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes. 7 affirmative votes, 3 negative votes.
Motion to waive the fees, is that what you mean?
That would be next. Absolutely.
Second.
I'll entertain a motion offered by Alderman Dantino to waive the fees of $10,000 per council member, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. All in favor of that motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Any new business? Hawks aren't playing. Bob, you want to talk about something?
I got nothing.
They didn't last night either.
You do this.
Motion to adjourn is in order.
Second. So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Good night, everyone.